And we're back.
Hello.
Interwebs.
It's been so long since we've talked, guys. Whatever are we going to talk about this evening?
Well,
the interwebs.
There wasn't any big news or anything today, so, you know.
I have a few topics in mind. Mostly the new Uno update that came out this week, and then maybe...
And Skip-Bo.
Skip-Bo, I love that game.
I hear there's some really good stuff coming out in HTML5.
Awesome. Do you guys want to invite Cato and Randall?
I did, and they didn't answer, so let me try again.
Oh, because I don't see them on my call. I mean, on the call.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, I was going to start a new call with Randall, and it just rang and rang and rang. So
maybe he might not be on his computer right now. We didn't exactly give him a specific time.
Yeah.
To look for it.
He was eating pumpkin pancakes.
They know that there's a round table coming up tonight, they should be sitting by their computer waiting.
This is Cato.
Cato.
Man, I totally don't recognize you. Usually it goes...
I know.
And then silence.
Someone's reading a novel.
Yeah. Nano Wemo.
I'm done writing that for the day. I've done 6,400 words in the last 2 days. So I don't need to write any more tonight.
Yeah, you see that now.
No, I really don't need to write any more tonight. Good God.
I don't need to write tonight at all because it's going to just come out crap.
You know what the problem with NaNoWriMo is? I'm supposed to be writing like a giant proposal right now. And it's really hard to just write all day long, even though, you know, I've got like, because I'm writing an academic paper and then I'm writing a proposal and then I'm doing NaNoWriMo. And it's really hard to just write all the time.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Yeah. I don't know what that's like.
Well, if you just work it into your tweets, then you'd be, you know, you'd have it done while you're tweeting.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Write a novel in 140 word portions. Yeah.
Not even 140 words, 140 characters.
140 characters. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In one sentence.
It was a dark and stormy night. A shot rang. The maid scram. Are my mic levels all right over here?
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah. Are mine?
You sound fantastic.
Awesome.
Like
so, you know, one time we were recording and people started hearing snoring in the background, and it was my dog. That's how good my mic was.
Or the time we were recording and you guys here were hearing crickets.
Yeah. Of course, we always hear the famous Thaddeus bus.
Not myself, my giggles. Man. I live right outside of a bus stop, man. I can't help it.
Is that what that is?
Does somebody want to ping Dead Orcs on Twitter?
I sent him a direct message.
Oh, okay.
He's probably still in a coma from his pancakes or whatever.
Yeah, true. Did you see the picture he posted?
No, I didn't. Now I gotta go find
Cato it. Made him promise to carve into the pumpkin pancakes. So he made a jack-o'-lantern face into the pumpkin pancakes.
Yeah, listen, if you're going to have pumpkin pancakes, they have to be carved.
And that's Mike Yu.
Yes.
Oh, hey, it's you.
Chad, what is it?
Chaz Standish.
It's Chaz Standish, fighting man.
Woohoo!
I'm so sad that we never got to play with Chaz Standish.
And he's... I hear that all the time.
No, it just makes him more he's just more iconic.
He is.
Oh, it's going to be a
name. The myth, the legend.
Chaz Standish. Oh, by the way, the pancakes were outstanding.
Awesome.
They're pancakes made from pumpkin. I mean, how could they not be?
I mean, they were too good.
See, the only way they could have been better really would be pumpkin chocolate chip pancakes.
Ooh.
Yeah, those would be pretty good. But I don't know, chocolate just doesn't chocolate just doesn't mix with my pancakes very well, so.
You know, I can kind of see that, but, you know, pumpkin chocolate chip in general works pretty well.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. You can hardly go wrong.
Nope.
Plus the bacon. There was bacon.
Oh, there was bacon? Oh.
Hell yeah, there was bacon, man.
That's it. I'll be there in, you know, 24 hours.
Not a problem. We'll fix up a batch. It'll be all good. I mean, awesome. I see I'm easy to reach. I'm right here in the heartland. You don't have to go very far, no matter where you're at.
Oh, crap, guys.
What? Yeah?
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Okay.
I don't know.
Vin Diesel.
Looks like Trevor Kidd.
I'm here?
Oh, really?
He just told me to ping him.
Wow. So he did.
Now, who did?
Trevor That's Kidd, Trevor he's Kidd. The community manager for Wizards of the Coast.
No kidding.
Did he get the okay from the handlers at WotC? I mean, I don't mean that snarky wise. I mean, like, they could get in big trouble if they say something and they're not okayed for that.
We'll find out.
I don't want to get him in trouble.
He'll just play the fifth on every question we ask him anyway.
Yeah, he'll start each answer with, well, I can't really answer that or speak to that issue, but.
Yeah, no kidding. After the Twitter exploded today.
Yeah, I was just complaining about that.
So, I actually thought it was a pretty good discussion, actually. But yeah, there was some, you know, oh, I hate this, or oh my god, you know, but actually I thought it was a pretty decent discussion.
Well, my complaint is more on a personal level where I made some comments and they were meant to be
Son
very
of a
minor
gun.
Complaints.
He is! He's then, coming on!
That's awesome.
Yeah, but Twitter won't let me send a direct message to him or the Wizards D&D account. Which...
Okay, just give it to me. I'm on IM with him.
Yeah, we'll get him. Tell him I need his Skype info. That's all I need.
Wow.
I just tell him I need his Skype info, and I can invite him.
But I made some comments, and they were meant to be very minor complaints. And then all of a sudden, I retweeted one comment, and I got jumped on by like 5 people.
Wow.
And it was like, okay, I wasn't saying that.
Well, yeah, you did, because you're a damn bastard.
I know, I'm a damn bastard, but I can't help it.
Most of my fears were allayed. I have one ongoing concern, but other than that...
Servers?
Because
I retreated in about the servers.
Yeah, that was actually... That one's okay. If they really did test with 3 to 4 times the... load or the number of DDI subscribers and they got good response and everything, then I'm confident as long as they've had good data. I'm okay with that. I'll believe what they say until it proves otherwise. But no, and then the export thing, that was another one. Of course, I'm giving all the spoilers away now ahead of time, but
I didn't think the server thing is a good concern, but I guess it really depends on how they implement the software, and if they cache it all right, it shouldn't have to hit the server too hard when you're using it, but I guess it really depends on how they... I don't know a lot about Silverlight, so...
Yeah, I don't either. Tracy?
Silverlight?
Yeah.
Sorry. Have you ever done... If it's not Pearl, she doesn't care, right?
Yeah, okay, that's right.
I'll talk to her.
That's a Microsoft product, right? No.
Right. Yes.
I mean,
yeah,
it makes
is.
Sense why
yeah.
they picked it, but... Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Silverlight, because I don't think I've ever gotten it to work correctly on my computer. But the fact that it might work on my computer has me excited.
Yeah, I can see where it's a big boon for the Mac users. So
yeah, I'm on a Mac right now, and I installed the VirtualBox and put XP on that to run it, you know, virtualized on my Mac, which is, you know, crazy. Works, but.
So, Thaddeus, I think that's his name. We shouldn't say it because I know we never edit this. But yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to say anybody's name that we haven't already said.
Wait, which one?
I put it in the...
Now talking code.
Nice.
Okay, wait. That's it?
The one where I said... That's what he said.
That's it. Now some hacker's like, oh, it must be really short. Let me try this one.
Sorry. We'll just edit this out.
Okay, but there's like Trot, Ding, there's like Bat, 40 Alpha. People with that same name.
Okay.
Tell him to add.
Oh, okay, okay. Wait. No. One sec. I think I got it now.
Okay, see, that'll work. That's a lot better.
Next thing you know, we're inviting someone from India onto the podcast.
Well, yeah, she just gave me his first name. Like, I'm gonna find him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that was at 10 minutes and 35 seconds. I'll have to go in and take that out.
Oh, I can edit anything I want.
I'll replace it with this part of the podcast has been redacted due to WotC's cease and desist.
No, don't do that.
We'll just.
We lost Randall.
We'll start the podcast here. So.
No, it's fine. I can take it out. In like 2 seconds, literally.
So, Sam, are you recording too?
I am recording, yes.
Sweet, because we can't mess this one up if we get Trevor on.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, Randall is off.
No, I'm not. Back.
I'm here.
Oh. Well, screw you for. Tricking me into thinking you were off.
I blinked for a minute, and then I clicked join call, and it jumped me right back in, so I'm good to go.
Okay. We doing this?
I'm just waiting for acceptance from Trevor. Can't play the... Oh, there's Trevor.
Woo! I'm so excited.
Let's add him to the call here. Now, we just need to make sure that it's all cool with the higher ups.
Mm-hmm. So we should all probably, you know, introduce ourselves too at some point, because that's something in general with the podcast that we're bad about.
Yeah.
Hey, Trevor.
Is he on?
He's connected.
Maybe he's just going to listen tonight.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Yay!
Lots of echo going on.
Well, that's not good. It's probably trying to pick me up on two microphones.
Yeah, he's taking Kato's place. Is
playing the role of Kato tonight? It'll be Trevor.
I'm just gonna start this off by I'm pretty sure you're all making fun of me, and I hate you all.
Well, it's a good place to start.
Introduce ourselves.
Why would you say that?
Trevor, you know how I feel.
Okay, so everybody, but Tracy.
Oh. And here
it's
I was.
So fair. Just because you love Trevor. Whoops, I wasn't supposed to say that.
Oh. Oh, the secret's out.
So let's do some introductions, just so Trevor knows who he's talking to. Aaron, you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. My name is Aaron. I'm Wolf Samurai on Twitter.
Kato,
Kato Katonian from One Inch Square.
Next up is Randall.
Hey, Trevor, welcome to the cast. I'm Randall Walker. I'm Initiative or What? I go by DataWorks on Twitter and various other places.
The old guy.
That's right.
Oh, snap.
No, that's all right. I wear the mantle proudly and will tell you to get the hell off my lawn.
See, he's a cool old guy, so it's okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Sam.
Hey, Trevor, this is Sam. I run the RPG Musings website, and I'm on the 4Geeks 4E podcast. And I'm a big fan.
And then there's Tracy, the president of your fan club.
The Trevor Kids fan club. It's quite large.
Like there's like two or three people, yeah. So.
And then, of course...
Go ahead, Thaddeus.
Well, that's it. It's just me. It's Thaddeus. You know, I love kittens.com.
Sweet.
Every time you say something like that, I have to, when I go do show notes, go find some website that matches I love kittens.com.
And I think Trevor was about to introduce himself.
Yeah, so. Sorry, that was my fault.
I'm Trevor. I'm some guy that works with the ghost. So, Oh, and I like D&D a lot, so that works too.
That's a good reason to have you on.
That's right.
So what are you guys talking about? I like kittens when they're alive.
Do they not last long around you? Is that what you're saying? Or?
No, they do. There's another discussion I was having earlier, which I won't repeat when I'm being recorded.
Well, and we did want to make sure it's okay that you're on the show. We don't have to, like, sign release or something.
No, you're fine. Nope, you're fine.
Okay.
If anybody's not fine, it's me, so don't worry about that.
You're not. We don't want to get you in trouble. That's what I'm saying.
No, you won't.
Okay.
No stress about that.
All right. Well, we were talking about, before you jumped on, we were talking about, surprise, surprise, the update to the character builder and the new announcement that was made today. Have you heard about it?
No. What are you talking about? Yes, I may have heard a thing or two about that.
Yeah, you started quite a commotion today on the internet, so we are dealing with the ramifications tonight.
Yeah, it's I mean, honestly, I'm not gonna be able to talk too much about it because I've done most of the talking that I can about it on the interwebs already. But yeah, I was expecting it to cause conversation for sure.
That's a good way to put it. Cause conversation.
Yes, I think a better way to put it was to pour gasoline and then throw a match.
Yeah, are you aware that Twitter exploded when the announcement dropped? So.
Yes, we were watching Twitter and our own community and all sorts of other stuff. So yeah, we were pretty aware of how quickly the conversation blew up.
So from my point of view, that's good and bad, right? It means that a lot of people are paying attention and care about what WotC's doing with 4th edition. But at the same time, I've said this a lot, but you know, no matter what WotC does, you're not going to be able to make all the people happy all the time.
Sure. I mean, that's very, very true. I mean, while I would agree that, yes, it's always good that lots of people are talking about it, you don't want to have lots of people saying lots of negative stuff about anything. Like, I don't really believe that all press is good press. Let's put it that way.
So as you were monitoring, what did you feel the overall tone to the changes was today?
Wow, it started off looking about like 50-50, and I can totally hear it myself.
Well, that would be a one Mike Robles who can't figure out his mic.
What? Wait, what? How do I? I have it. I have mic.
But you need
to
put
headphones.
Yeah, you need to put some headphones on, buddy.
I do have headphones on.
Okay.
I can hear you guys through my headphones.
But turn your speakers off.
My speakers are never. Wait, what?
It's like when you call on a radio.
Never on.
His mic is picking up my talking.
Right.
Trevor talks loud.
It's called a loop, and we're creating it here.
Kind of a big deal.
Did we just divide by zero?
I think you did. You're breaking everything, Mike.
We opened a wormhole, and we're all going to get sucked in.
We have placed
much like my everyday job. I'm coming to break everything.
We've placed a bag of holding in a portable hole, and the podcast is going to implode.
Sweet. Look, if there's a short, bald guy at the end of that, I'm out. No, Dungeon Master, no.
All right. Well, everybody, welcome Mike Robles, who has decided to join us as well. So we're
honored.
I just came in real fast to just say that I kind of...
right. Well, that was good stuff. That was good stuff. Thanks, Mike, for that.
I got lost.
Did you push the mute button?
No. I don't know what happened. Did I get lost again?
No, we lost Trevor.
Damn.
I can hear Trevor.
Yeah, everybody's here. Everybody's good.
So wait, so can you guys hear me or not? Well, I thought, what happened?
Yeah, we can hear you.
This is like listening to your grandparents set up an answering machine. It's great.
How do I set up my TV to record MacGyver?
And I thought I was the old guy here.
All right, Mike, say what you got to say.
I will, and I'm leaving. No, that's messed up. I just want to say that I kind of bullied Trevor into doing this because he wanted to go home, and I said, no, you should totally jump into this. And he said, okay, but if you guys treat him like poop, then I have full permission to unfollow you on Twitter.
Oh, ouch.
Ow.
Mike. No, and Trevor, I'm very upset. You know I would never do that.
I'm just kidding. I just like to blame Trevor for everything.
See, we like to blame Thaddeus for everything.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah, he only gets plates thrown at him at his real work. So.
Yeah, I'm used to it. I'm tough.
And we can internet plates.
Did you get plates thrown at you today, Thaddeus?
No, it was earlier in the week.
Okay.
Someone freaked out and threw a plate at me at work. It was pretty bad.
Totally understandable.
Yeah.
Do you work at a Greek restaurant?
Yeah, I wish. No, just belligerent guests with an overinflated sense of entitlement. Much like the podcast.
That's right. Much like the four of us. Yes. Okay.
Much like Twitter.
Yeah.
I like how Mike came on and allowed me to sidestep that question I got asked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to talk a whole lot about the announcement and today's information. But as far as general community stuff, yes, I love people to talk about things. And in general, good like conversation is good. But when it's mostly negative and you can't, you know, convince people of the positive or show them the positive yet, then it's a little bit trying.
Well, that's why I make the comment that you can't make all the people happy. Because here's the thing, if you make an announcement and they can't see the actual product, they're going to complain about their perceived inadequacy, right? But if you don't make an announcement and you just spring something on people, they say, oh, you just sprung this on us. And there's just no making people happy.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation, really.
Yeah.
Sure, and I think a while ago, like a year or more ago, we were in the habit of maybe giving out too much information. And we pulled back, and I honestly feel like maybe we pulled back a little too far, and I'm trying to make sure we, you know, increase the level of communication, all that kind of stuff, but it's, we have to deal with the legacy at this point, get everything fixed up.
I like that Trevor thanks me for helping him sidestep the question by bringing it back up again.
Yeah.
I know, isn't that awesome?
Well,
that was also me going, hey guys, I can't really talk about this.
Yeah.
That's why I'm leaving now, because now I have to go.
All right.
I just want to come in for my quick cameo and say, be nice to Trevor, because I bullied him into this. in saying that you guys have totally treated him well.
Hey, Mike Robles, though, did you know how awesome you are?
You know, I get told quite often from you guys, and
That's a pretty huge man crush you got on in there, Sam.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've said it in every podcast episode so far, but I've never been able to say it in person or quasi-person, as this might be.
This is totally quasi-person.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
You owe me some doodles. Just,
oh,
just
I don't. I don't know what that means, and I don't really want to know.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm very excited about owing doodles.
We have gone to a dark place.
Up here, okay? I'm just saying.
All right, I will get on that.
We'll bring in Tracy. It'll be a doodle.
I've been a bad doodler recently, but yeah, I'll get back in.
You actually owe doodles, Tracy.
I owe lots of things to lots of people. I may have a lot on my plate right now. It may be true.
You know, we could just cut out the last 30 seconds and use that to blackmail the three of you. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like, you need more stuff to blackmail me with.
I'm pretty sure we're going to send Mike through some more HR training.
I haven't had any speak to it, so. Be nice to Trevor. I love you all.
Thank you, Mr. Robles.
Love you, too.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for stopping by.
Apparently, I hired my mother.
Oh,
over there, Mr. Protective, and trying to make sure no one hurts me.
Well, you're fragile. I hear you're a pretty fragile guy. So.
Well, yeah, that's what I hear too. Because being a community manager is easily done when you're a fragile person.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just going to say that I respect your position because I can't imagine having to do that because I just think it would be particularly knowing our fan base.
Well, it's I know we say that, but our fan base is uber passionate, and that's awesome. I mean,
well, yeah,
the fact that people care that much is actually incredibly cool. So that's something always to keep in mind when you're having hard times.
Right.
So,
but anyways,
so I don't want to go back into the character builder update too much, just because I know you can't say much, and so I don't want to put you on the spot. So before we do, I guess, before we make you just shut up and stay out of the conversation because you can't answer any questions, can you explain what your job is at Wizards of the Coast so people listening know exactly who you are and what you do?
Oh, sure. So I manage the community team here at Wizards of the Coast, and those are the people that you would see posting in social media aspects, so Twitter, Facebook, our own community forums, other people's community forums. Basically, we're the stewards of information between the company and the community, back and forth. So if you guys out there have stuff that you want to make sure that people in the company see, that's us doing that, basically. You guys are posting it places like, man, I really wish Wizards would do this, or why did they do this, or that kind of stuff. We try to make sure that we get that information, get it to people in the company, and then, when possible, get answers back to people out there. So that's the easiest way to talk about how we handle community management.
And what does Mike do for you?
Mike's my peon. No.
It's always good to have minions.
Mike is actually basically a junior me. He does a lot of the same things that I do. We actually work in tandem to basically make sure we're checking on all the different communities we have going on, messaging where we can.
Reading
right
my site daily?
Say it again?
Reading my site daily?
Yes, definitely. Of course. Of course. I just got finished reading Thaddeus' blog earlier. So.
Oh, no.
You should never blog angry, sir.
Yeah, I was at a very bad time when I wrote today.
So. It was pretty good. It was actually pretty good. I'm giving you a hard time, but it was pretty good. We do a lot of the same thing. I just get to tell them what to do sometimes. It's the Thanks. Easiest way to put it.
How long have you been with Wizards?
Well, a little over 5 years now.
Okay.
6 years if I count contractor time. So I started off answering phone calls and emails about D&D questions. I did that for a year or so, and then I moved up to a guy who tells people how to answer phone calls and emails about D&D questions. And then I started managing teams of people answering phone calls and answers about Magic and D&D questions, plus billing and all that other stuff. And then this position opened up, and I got over here, and now I'm managing this team. So,
you are a brother. I worked in two call centers myself. So.
Oh, yes. It's not uncommon for some of us more charismatic, geeky people. So it's good times.
So is there any thought of bringing back the community blog with having non-WOTC people post to it?
No, the idea that I had for having like a weekly thing where we had some cool stuff with basically guest bloggers coming in. I would love to do that. It was one of my cooler ideas, to be totally honest. It's also strangely enough, wrangling bloggers is like herding kittens sometimes. So I had all sorts of people who were super willing to do it, but then I had to like figure out what I wanted them to do, which is the hard part, like the exact thing I wanted them to do. So I would love to return to that. As soon as I'm a little less busy, I will totally get back to that, because that's something that I would love to execute on. Because getting other people to do my work is really what I'm about.
Well, that's a true sign of success right there.
That's right.
Yeah.
But no, really what it came down to is the bloggers were saying a lot of cool things, and I wanted to show – what I wanted to show people was the fact that D&D wasn't necessarily a game that Wizards of the Coast should or could be telling you how to play. It was just a game that you could make your own, and I was going to use the bloggers as a way to do that. And because they're all really cool people.
And that is a good message. Could you repeat that message?
Yeah.
No, that's real. I'm not being funny. That's actual something that people seem to refuse to get over and over and over again from a large company when they say that. And I want you to say it again if you would.
D&D is the game that you make it. It's like we supply a basic rule for that you can use, and it's a good starting point. But then after that, making the game your own is pretty much what I think D&D is. So, and it, don't get me wrong, it takes some steps to get there. You have to nut up and learn the rules, and then find what you're comfortable with, what you're not comfortable with, and then just go from there. But it's a hard step for some of the people who are jumping into DMing.
Don't use that corporate jargon with us, Trevor. That that nut up stuff. I mean, come on. That's...
Hey, at least he didn't say where the rubber meets the road. So, you know, as long as he's not saying that, we're good to go. Or sure win on the ground. I don't want to hear win on the ground anymore either. Every modern war has been won by winning in the air, not the ground. So stop with winning on the ground.
It's probably true. I'm not really a war or history buff, but that sounds true.
He was just leveraging synergies, that's all.
That's right.
Access analysis.
So I do have a topic I want to hit on that is not the character builder update. We'll come back to that in a little while. We'll save most of our nerd rage for the end of the show. I read on Samuel's site this morning when I woke up a post by Al of the Fool about supporting your local friendly game stores. And I want to know, did anyone else read that? And did anyone else, you know, what are your feelings about that? His post was basically came down to he wants to support his local friendly game stores, but he does most of his shopping on Amazon and at Borders and Barnes & Noble because the prices are a lot better. And so he seemed a bit conflicted about, you know, how to help the game stores, but at the same time save money.
So some context. He is a married, middle-aged person with three children at home. And so he's very cost conscious, and that's sort of the basis of his decision, is that he has a budget that he goes by, and he would rather go to Borders and be able to purchase two products versus going to his game store and only being able to afford one of them. However, at the same time, he uses his game store to play occasionally, and so they utilize the space at the game store. And so he's relatively conflicted about it, but he's not unhappy with his ultimate decision of purchasing it at a different venue, especially when it's only 5 minutes away. But it spawned a pretty good conversation with lots of good input from several different people. So
okay, so that's the end of that, or?
I just want to give some context. It's not just some kid that doesn't want to spend a lot of money. He's actually a person just like us that, you know, has a wife and a family and a career. And you know, the reason I think that the post garnered a lot of attention is that it's something that probably we can all relate to at some level, that it's a decision that he has to make. And it's not necessarily a moral or ethical decision, depending on your own personal views, but it is something that could become important to your community.
I mean, sorry, go ahead.
No. Trevor, you're up.
So supporting a local game store, it can be we always think supporting the local game store means going in and buying lots of stuff. And yes, I'm pretty sure that would make your local game store very happy. But if you don't have the money all the time, then going in and buying small things like maybe a die or two or a deck of cards, that's, you know, the one thing. You can also make sure your friends know about the store. You can also make sure that the store, you're helping the store run organized play events. Now, if you don't have money or time, basically what we're talking about, you know, being a married person with very small sense of time, so you can step away from your family and then a little bit of the money that you can spend on your hobby, it gets more difficult. But there's small things you can do that your game store can definitely, you know, would be happy to have you do. Some of it, again, is just helping out, you know, on your D&D encounters, there's my plug, or something like that. But there are little pockets of time you can spend, and then little kind of bits of money you can spend from time to time to still support your local game store. And that's, sure, while everybody would love to do more, if that's all you can do, that's all you can do, and you shouldn't feel bad about that.
Aaron, did you have something you wanted to say?
Oh, yeah, I was going to bring up an example that I had recently with my game store. I mean, I like my game store. I've played there. I did the first season of D&D Encounters there. Everybody's friendly there. They know me. I'm a regular. But at the same time, I'm kind of in the same boat where it's like, as much as I would like to buy stuff there and do more stuff there, it's hard to justify the cost sometimes. Sometimes it's a lot easier to just order something on Amazon and wait for it to come in and save money doing so than it is to head to the local game store and hope that they happen to have it in. This recently happened with Gamma World. I wasn't sure that they would be getting it in on time, so I ordered it from Amazon and planned on going to the game store to get the boosters. And then when I actually got to the game store to buy the boosters, they didn't have any in stock. So I was left feeling kind of disappointed. And even though I really wanted to support them, I was kind of forced to go outside what they were able to offer.
See, for me, guys, it's been a change in the way things have been sold. And let me give you an example. Way back when I was in high school, so we're talking the mid-80s.
Hey, I was in high school then too, man.
Okay, well, that's cool. But my point is that we had a place called the Game Shop, literally called the Game Shop, and it was run by this Korean vet, and he is, you know, Bob the Korean vet, and he had a dog there in the shop, you know, and he sold all – and it was a cool place because he sold board games and he did not sell comic books. It was all games. And we picked up all of our stuff there. And it was like, I mean, we would cut class to go to the game shop, right? And because that was the only place in town that even sold that kind of stuff back in the 80s. The problem is that we now have different kinds of ways to distribute this stuff. And I can get it cheaper at Amazon. And I don't need that experience to go to the game shop. And my local gaming store here in Topeka is a comic book store, primarily. They sell gaming stuff, and they like to pretend they're also a gaming store, but they're really a comic book store. And so it doesn't hold the same, I don't know, magic, if you will, for me to do that. And it's – I don't know how to save the gaming store. I think it would be great. But, I mean, the game shop that I talked about that was open in the 80s has been closed for a long time now, mainly because he couldn't compete with big box stores, you know, couldn't compete with Walmart and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not assigning a value to that. I just – it's changed. And so my own habits have changed. If I could get something, like I said, at a 40% deep discount at Amazon or whatever, I'm going to do that because I can buy more and get more stuff than – you know, than going to the game store to do it and getting half. And I have to agree with Aleo there. I just, you know, as far as, you know, budgets and time, unlimited funds, sure, why not get it at the game store? I'd love to support them, but there's got to be other ways to do that. So my two cents anyway.
You know, what's funny about that is, so I've been playing for about 25 years, and when I first started playing, we didn't have a local game store like that. There was no such thing as a local game store. You're right. The stores that were sort of the niche stores were comic stores, and the one that was near to my house at the time did not sell any RPG or D&D stuff. And the first RPG item that we got, I think, was a out of a KB Toys and Hobbies in a mall somewhere. And then we found it in a random Toys R Us, I think, somewhere. And wow. Then after a few years, some stores came up, and they were primarily hobby stores with, you know, the kites and remote control cars and models and stuff like that. And you might be able to find a couple of books, and that's it. So, you know, there was some talk about how the game store is a one of the primary ways to get new players to join the hobby. But, you know, when I was sort of getting new players and a new player myself, the game stores didn't exist as they do in the form now. So I don't sort of look at that as a primary way to get people to join the hobby. I bring people in different ways.
Yeah. I don't buy the argument that it's the primary way. I've never heard anyone really give like information that it was. I've always thought that it was, I think Mike Rawls, I heard somebody say that Mike Rawls is like a cousin or somebody who introduces you to it. And, oh, sorry. And on top of it, I go out of my way to buy at the local gaming store because I know it's important, and I happen to be in a situation where that's possible for me right now. But I don't really like to play there. And stuff like that. So I kind of get upset when people start making that argument that you have to support it and that that's the only way to keep the hobby alive, because I think the hobby is just changing and how the information gets out. I mean, the way I got in was my friends played and I listened to a bunch of podcasts. So.
Well, I live in Portland, and I actually, we have one of the coolest local game stores that I've ever been to.
Thanks.
You know, Guardian Games, but they're not paying me or anything, so this is, you know, free plug for them. But the owner is really awesome, and the store is huge and just has, I mean, just tons of board games, stuff that you can't find anywhere else locally. And so I am an impulse buyer, and I guess for me, the game store will always be the place, my go-to place, because I just get it in my head. You know, I read someone's post about Betrayal at House on the Hill. And
oh yeah, I remember that.
And I didn't want to wait 3 or 5 days for Amazon to ship me a copy, so I just drove to the store and bought one right there. And so, you know, not all of my purchases are made at the game store. A lot of them are made a little more intelligently, where I try to find the best price and do what I can. But I also know that I'm supporting them with my inability to control my impulses. So.
So for me, though, the problem with that is my local game store that does any sort of anything is 2.5 hours away. So, and we go there often. My girlfriend is a really huge board game geek, as am I, along with RPGs, and we make a ton of purchases there. But sometimes it's a hardship because I live in central New York, and it snows here, and it's not always nice to drive 2.5 hours. So, you know, while that is my go-to place, I don't have the luxury of saying, hey, I just read a post about this. I want to go buy that right now and just hop in the car and go. It's not
– well,
I would
hardly call that your local game store. I would call that your nearest game store, but you know, I wouldn't fault someone who doesn't want to spend all their money at a store that's two hours away instead of ordering something online.
I'm pretty much in the same boat as Thaddeus as far as kind of purchasing into a game store. I see game stores as kind of like this treasure trove of stuff. so I'll go to a couple around here. And when I walk in, I don't necessarily know what I want to get. I just have this urge to buy something.
Right.
Which happens, unfortunately. So I'll see something that I've wanted. It's like, oh, look, there's the Dresden RPG. I have not actually picked up the Dresden Files RPG. I really want that. And I'll buy it. Right. And I try to make sure that I'm going to the same couple stores, because, again, I like these stores. I want to support them. But other than that, I haven't actually contributed much in the, quote-unquote, supporting my local game stores. But I don't even know where I stand on the argument of is it important or not. I like my local game stores, and I definitely want to keep them around. So I will try to buy stuff from them. But, I mean, when you're talking about arguing the convenience and ease of Amazon, especially when your closest game store is an hour or two away, I don't know how anybody could fault you for that, man.
And in the same note, someone who has kids or is on a budget, there's tens of valid reasons. And I don't think I guess it's not a morality issue. I guess it's just it's where you place your values. Do you want that brick and mortar store to be there for your convenience and because you enjoy going there? Or, you know, if it's not something that you even care to support, then you're not a bad person for not supporting it. And since I'm right, always, you know, that's how it goes.
Gosh.
Well, and it's
Thaddeus and I can talk like all night by ourselves. So
yeah, welcome.
He's done talking.
Welcome to the Trevor and Thaddeus show.
Well, it's like that with products, no matter what whether you're talking about gaming stuff or anything else. I mean, it's the whole question, you know. Is Walmart ruining little towns, you know, or big box stores, or places like Amazon ruining the small brick and mortar mom and pop shops, you know? It's like, well, if the mom and pop shops can do things to compete and keep their customers, then that won't be a problem. Otherwise, people are going to go where the prices are cheapest, and I don't blame them. I would too. I don't like shopping in Walmart, but there are some times when if I am on a budget and I need something, then it's easy to find there, and it's cheap, and I don't have to go and spend a whole bunch of money for it. So, you know, I guess that makes me a hillbilly, but.
No, I'm not sure it does. I think that Alio just took some heat for saying that he unabashedly chooses to go to a place like Borders because he takes his wife and kids there because they're all readers, and it can be sort of an outing to go, you know, to the bookstore with his family versus if he goes to the game store, he goes by himself and it's much more expensive. So why would he choose that? And a couple people said, you know, oh, you're going to ruin the game industry. And my point was, if you play 4th edition D&D and you buy the products, I'm not sure that Wizards of the Coast really cares whether you bought them from Amazon, Borders, or your local game store. Ultimately, Wizards will get a profit off of that or some, payment for that. The choice to support a local store is made more in mind with what you get out of that store. Me and my girlfriend go because we like to browse the board games and the RPGs, and I like to pick them up and look at them and flip through them. And I don't, you can't do that on Amazon for the most part.
Wait. Wizards of the Coast makes money?
Yes, I know. Yeah. Can you believe it?
Oh, those bastards.
I know. Aaron, were you? I didn't mean to interrupt anybody.
Well, I was just going to say that so long as your local game store offers something that you can't get from Amazon, you're just because you order a book or two, or even the majority of your books from Amazon, doesn't mean your local game store is going to go out of business. The fact that you can go down to your local game store and play like D&D Encounters or find a game group, because most game stores I know have a board where you can advertise looking for players or, looking for a group. As long as, and in my local game store is actually moving to a new location where they're going to have a cafe. So as long as local game stores have stuff like that, they're still a viable option they're still going to be around, even if you're not buying from them all the time.
Now, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but Cato, you've been pretty quiet. So why don't you tell us where you sit on this whole topic?
Okay.
I read the same post and I started a long comment there and then decided that no one cares what my personal shopping habits are. I've been dealing with the same issue and kind of like, I really want to support the local game stores. At the same time, Amazon is selling, Game X for half the price or whatever, and with Christmas coming up, I can buy twice as many things if I go to Amazon than if I go drive a half an hour to the gaming store or whatever. So, but what I didn't say in the post was basically I kind of split my money. If I, feel like taking a trip to the store and I see something I like, then I'll pick something up. If I want something and really think the price is good at Amazon, then I'll buy it from Amazon. And I think I posted that, ultimately, and this is the obvious answer, everyone has to do what's right for them. Everyone knows their own budget. Everyone knows how they feel about it. So, and I sort of feel like, the consumer isn't ultimately responsible for propping up anybody's business. You have to do what's right for you in your money, and that's just how it goes. But
yeah, what I was going to say was along those lines, although I'm probably a little more controversial in that, I think the store needs to offer something to people to make me want to buy there. And I mean, I buy there anyway right now because I know enough people want the store to continue to exist, but I've gone there and said, hey, I want to publicize your events because I think you could get more new people in here that you're not getting right now. And the guy's response was, oh, well, new players seem to just figure it out anyway. And I was like, well, I didn't figure it out for years, so okay. And I go to the store specifically in advance because they're a premium store. I can get it 10 days in advance, and they usually don't have it. I think 2 out of 3 times they do not have the books there, and I have to go to another store another hour away or so. Anyways. That's all I have to say on it.
No, I agree. I think those are very valid points. I think if a person has a choice.
I feel like we've kind of driven that one into the ground. Does anyone have anything else they want to talk about?
Can you guys hear me?
Was that you, Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I was just going to say that, those are very valid points. And, if we remove this conversation from the RPG industry and we just say about any product A, if you're given a choice between paying $5 for product A or paying $10 for product A and not having to travel anywhere to pay the $5 price, but having to travel for an hour to pay the $10 price, most consumers will say it would be helpful if they had an incentive to actually make the drive and actually get something in return for paying the extra price for that item, regardless of what the item is. You know, this is why people shop at Walmart. You know, like I don't know if it was Randall or Cato said, you know, is Walmart destroying the small towns? Well, maybe, but most of those people, you know, Walmart's not destroying that small town because no one's shopping there. Walmart's destroying that the business in that town because they sell things cheaper and all the people are shopping there. And the same people that complain that their small store closed are the ones that go to Walmart on the weekend instead of their small store because they either can't afford whatever is sold in the small store or the small store isn't giving them enough incentive. So this isn't just an issue with the RPG industry per se. It's an issue with making any choice that an adult makes to buy a product that they want or need.
Well, yeah, it's changing patterns of distribution and stuff like that, and that's what Tracy hinted at earlier. It's like it's not done. It's not being done in the same way. And it's no sense gnashing your teeth and stuff about a changing way of way products are distributed and sold and stuff. And so, you know, if it's cheaper to do it by companies buying large mass quantities like Amazon and cutting and getting a cut rate, then that's the way it's going to happen. So
I hear that Tracy doesn't like Gamma World.
She put them on the same level as Dungeons.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh gosh!
See, oh my gosh!
That's a free mutation for Tracy.
Tracy, there you go. There's no rituals in Gamma World here.
No, that is my one
healing surges to power them.
That's my one problem with Gamma World. There's no rituals.
So Thaddeus, what did I say earlier?
Well, you were talking about how you didn't like Tracy, and then you were talking about how cool I was after that. And then
with taking D&D, making your own game.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
You can totally make up rituals for your Gamma World game.
Hey guys, guess what? There's rituals in Gamma World now. You heard it. You heard it off from Trevor Kidd.
That's it.
They just ruined Gamma World.
And I'm hanging
Thaddeus.
Up. I'm
Thaddeus,
hanging up on looked Cato Catonian.
Thaddeus, if you ever looked at the first version of Gamma World and the artifact recognition charts, or to try to find out how to use an artifact, they are like rituals. So just go back to that. You'll be good to go.
So, Tracy, why all the hate against Gamma World?
What? I don't hate Gamma World. I love Gamma World. I played it at New York Comic Con, and it was awesome. I wanted to kill my character, but we didn't get around to it because Chris solved it too easily. The last encounter. I think
you're too smart.
You should play in my game. I'll kill your character for you.
Well, you are the killer DM now. Is that taken, by the way, on Twitter? You should totally go after that.
The killer DM? Well, I'm sure someone hasn't.
Well, you could be the killer DM in GW or something.
Yeah. I'll figure something out. But you know, seven characters in one session. That's got to be up there.
That is pretty good. I want to take the alpha mutations and bring them into D&D. I know that's terrible, but as Trevor said earlier, I can totally do that.
It's actually not that terrible, right? If you look at Faerun's past, stuff like that, you can find ways to treat mutations as wild magic reactions.
Well, yeah, I was totally thinking
easily do it.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you can easily do it. It's all you.
Yeah, I was thinking about that in the spell plague stuff, too.
Far realm incursions.
Yeah, well, ooh. And you know, bring some of that awe back. D&D, like we've been talking about recently.
Far realm incursions is a good one too. It's a really good one.
Yeah, to me, aberrations scream mutations. So that's, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm running a far realm campaign right now, and taking some of those alpha mutations and bringing them in might be interesting.
Do you remember the
so actually in? In one of my games, the Shadowfell is getting sucked into the Feywild or vice versa, and it's causing all sorts of mutations and weird stuff. So I might invoke the Tracy maneuver now. That's what it's called when you take the Gamma World mutations and put them into your D&D 4E game.
What were you saying, Trevor?
And also, in people have to help me. For Eberron, they have the was it the Delkir? Were those the humanoids that were basically giving themselves in a little bit for the Far Realm stuff? Because that was always fun and awesome too. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You killed conversation though.
No, I do that a lot. I walk into a room and I talk for like 15 minutes, and people are like, "Man, how can I follow that?"
I heard you had a really good Gamma World game there, Trevor.
I had a couple really good Gamma World games, so I'm not really sure which one you're talking about. There was the one that we playtested back last year at D&D Experience, which was awesome. I got to play with Dave and E and Matt James.
Name dropper.
they would be upset with if I didn't mention them. That was an awesome game. And then recently we had the game with the Zaxi.com ladies, which was also awesome. And then I played in Greg's game recently. We haven't played in a while. I think he's flaked out on us because, you know, he has to look and make cool things for D&D, but you know what.
That was the one with Shelley?
Yes, that was the one with Shelley. And she makes me sound like I'm a much better role player than I actually am. So
I believe her.
Well, okay, so I have a question. It seems like the most popular thing about Gamma World is the characters that everybody keeps creating, because they just seem to be so like crazy and off the wall. So why doesn't everybody just go around and I'll start calling out names and you tell me about a couple of the characters that people in your games have made? And if you haven't played the game yet, just answer with "I'm lame and I haven't played the game yet." So, Aaron, tell me about two characters that you played with.
I think the most memorable one so far was the very first character anybody rolled up for my game was a radioactive Hawkoid with an intelligence of 3. he was using a parking meter as a weapon, and he had the better part of a trash bin as his armor, his heavy armor. Because his intelligence was so low, just to add some more randomness, whenever he was thinking about doing something and he thought about it for more than a few seconds, I had him roll save versus stupidity. And if he didn't make it, he would do the absolute worst thing he could think of. And it made it really entertaining for that very short amount of time where he lived. Let's see, what was the second best? The second best was a plant swarm, a cacti swarm, that I don't know how it worked out, but his very first alpha mutation was quills. And it was so utterly perfect that it stuck completely in my head.
Oh, I like that it was quills and it stuck. That was good. I see what you did there.
Pun not intended.
All right, Kato, what about you?
So I played in the game day, and I rolled up a hypercognitive Yeti, which
that's awesome.
When I originally thought about it, I wanted to play him sort of like Dr. Zaius from the Planet of the Apes, but it didn't end up playing out that way. But I was amused because, you know, so Gamma World, you have, when you pick your weapons and you pick your armor or whatever, it's generic. It's like you have a two-handed gun, right? And then the players get to choose whatever, however you skin that. So we're going around the table and trying to figure out what we had. And I'm like, you know what? What does a hypercognitive Yeti carry? He carries a blunderbuss that he, just shoves shards of crap into and fires out. So it was a lot of fun just sort of coming up with this guy. And then he eventually met his demise because I rolled too well with him for too long, and the DM started to get annoyed, and so he started picking on my character and sending everybody after him. So eventually he demonstrated to me one of the things that I'm not sure of how I feel about in Gamma World, the fact that once you go down past 0, you can't come back up, and the players that do, if you roll successfully instead of dying, I basically spent like an hour and a half doing absolutely nothing in my game because I was rolling too well to die, but I couldn't come back up. So that felt a little weak to me. But
well, you know, you can change that in your own game.
Yeah, exactly. According to,
so
the
says Trevor.
When it jumps back up, or just somebody else suggested that once you go past 0, that's it. You're dead and roll up a new character. So.
Okay, Randall, what about you?
Well, my first instinct would be to say that I'm lame and I haven't played the game yet. So But that said, over Halloween, Geek's Dream Girl and another gaming store that I can't remember the name of ran a contest to come up with a Halloween-themed mutant for Gamma World, and I posited an android seismic that fired tombstones and would hit people, and they would have already imprinted like their names on the tombstone when it hit them. So like rest in peace, or like, you know, so it would bury them right there. But nice. But I'm looking forward to playing it. I want to get the game. It sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like a nice. I've played Paranoia before, and I think that the fun of the game is very much related to that. So should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Picking up a little background noise from Trevor there. Sam, what about you?
Well, so Thaddeus took this opportunity to throw me under the bus because I told him earlier how my Gamma World copy is sitting on my shelf still shrink-wrapped because I haven't been able to spend any time with it yet.
Lame.
So I have to say I'm lame.
Oh, poor Sam.
Good job.
Sam, bring your game over to my house. We'll play.
Yeah.
Sam's
too busy running about a million games to
read his Gamma World.
I actually have a game at 11 o'clock tonight. In about an hour, I'll be running a D&D game. But I plan on doing an online Gamma World, couple of one-shots maybe. So.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, I know. Whatever. You're just jealous.
So, Tracy.
Yeah?
What are some of your favorite characters that you've seen and or played?
I don't know. I was kind of short on sleep when I played at New York. Poor Chris had to do all the math for me. I couldn't do it. But I played the hypercognitive Yeti. I called her Helen the Calm, and she had a sledgehammer. And I got the alpha mutation where the nose grows and sucks out. So I did that. I totally went for the overcharge, too, and made it. So it was great.
Nice. What about you, Trevor?
Well, I don't know. You guys may have heard me talk about these ones before. So I really enjoyed playing Spew in Greg Bilson's game earlier. Spew was He was a plant cockroach. So I made him as a big cockroach man that had, like, all this fungus and stuff growing on him. He had I think he had an intelligence of about 4. Relatively wise, but he was with the group a lot. Every time they found paste, he would want to grab it, and it was his snack of choice, so he was always getting paste. He died. He exploded with an explosion mutation. Greg let me. Oh. I was gonna die anyway, probably. Greg let me go out with a bang and take some bad guys with me. He went to spore, I guess is another way to put it. So that was fun. And then Tara from Zaxi.com, when she was playing, she made Zoltar. If you guys remember, big. She basically made, she had a, I think she got a, what was it, the psychic, got a psychic machine. She got some kind of a psychic combination. You can check out her website. She got a psychic combination. So she basically made a robot that was a Zoltar machine, which was a fortune-telling machine. It came to life and was doing all sorts of cool stuff. And that was the coolest thing for me about it, was when we made our characters for that game. Everybody did their origins, and then we went around the table. It's like, okay, so what are you? Like, people stopped and went, what? And so they had to think about how their stuff combined and all the cool stuff. That's one of the cool things about Gamma World to me. But that was a really fun. I like seeing Zoltar take Gamma World shape.
Yeah, and I really like that about Gamma World. That you know, last night I played my first game of Gamma World with my regular D&D group. And when they were making their characters, you know, one guy rolled up, I think like Rat Swarm and Electrokinetic. So he was just like, okay, so I'm an Electrokinetic Rat Swarm, and I'm like, well, you could be a swarm of Pikachus, or, you know, you don't even have to be rats. You could change that up a little bit. And so he actually went with a swarm of land eels that were electric land eels. And so I'm like, okay, you got to pick a weapon. And he's like, okay, well, I'll take a whip. And I just kind of stared at him across the table, and he was like, what, is that too common? I'm like, yeah, dude, you got to come up with something. And so he ended up using a piece of telephone line or power cable that he had found. And so he would whip people with it and then shock them through it. And so he was this, you know, swarm of eels that was wearing clothes to try to look like a person, and it went by the name of Land Eel Calrissian.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Good time.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And that's kind of fun that Gamma World leads to, you know? And a lot of beer.
Beer.
There's nothing wrong with playing Gamma World or D&D and drinking some beer while you're doing it.
Absolutely.
I'm saying that to all the responsible over 21 people out there.
Yeah. After game night at our house, it's terrible. It's like at least 12 bottles or so. It's crazy. It's fun, though.
Yeah. Kato, did you have something? What were you saying, Trevor?
I was talking about I would love a program that maybe bars could start that would be like D&D at a bar. So.
Like our game.
Oh, that'd be nice.
If any bartenders or bar owners are out there and they play D&D, I'm talking to you.
It gives the term D&D encounters a whole new meaning.
I don't know if you want to turn D&D into a dating game or anything.
You can get numbers, though.
Yeah.
Hey, it's your game, I guess. Make it what you want.
Well, that happened at Asgard.
Oh, yeah. That's true. We saw some people hook up over D&D. It was quite awesome.
Wow. That's got to be. I would almost say it's a first, but I doubt it. It's got to have happened before.
Oh, sure.
So, Kato, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to bring it back to Gamma World. I was going to say, because you were talking about your player.
No, we're talking about hooking up now.
Oh, well, never mind.
No, what were you saying?
Oh, no, just that, so you're talking about your player and saying, oh, well, I'm going to be, you know, electric rat swarm, and you kind of like probably said, well, you know, be Pikachus or whatever. And I think that's one of the really cool things about, you know, when I first saw the origin charts or whatever for Gamma World, and it's like, you know, you roll a d20 twice, so there's, you know, X number of combinations there. But the cool thing is once you start reading it and looking at the rule book and whatnot, the idea that sort of the combination of these two things makes your character, and, you know, a Hawkeye isn't, you know, just necessarily a hawk man. It is something that flies, you know, and so that I really like this sort of you combine these two possibly disparate elements and come up with something else. Like it talks about, I think, what a seismic Hawkeye, well, that's a gargoyle, you know, or something like that. So I think that's a really cool character creation mechanic. That's all.
Well, it looks like we have gone past the hour mark. And I know Trevor is still trapped at the office.
Oh, that's fine. I'm going to stay here for a while for D&D Encounter tweet stuff anyway. So
my question about that is, I thought that those were like automated tweets. Are you actually just in the office tweeting those all day?
No. They actually are automated. But we've been having some troubles lately, so I'm going to babysit it to see if I can figure out what's going on.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
But you're telling me you have Splunk someplace in a cage and he's the one that's typing all those things?
That's actually, that was the joke when we first started, because that was awesome. When I first did, yeah, I actually updated throughout the day, and then I didn't update at night, and then I updated the next day. And then I blamed the goblins and the kobolds when things went horribly wrong. But no, it is actually automated now.
So. I was thinking more like Boss, where he has to press a button every 15 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah, I love working here. I don't know that I would love pushing a button every 15 minutes here.
It's Wizards of the Coast Dharma Initiative. So.
Very true. But sorry, Thaddeus, I think you were trying to make an exit when I interrupted you.
Well, I was just going to make sure that everybody's either cool to keep going, or because I know Sam's got a game he wants to play, and I just want to make sure we're not holding on to anybody for too long.
I have some more endurance left.
I can go a little bit longer.
All right. Well,
that gives you more time to edit me out of the conversations later.
This podcast is going to be like, and what does Trevor have to say about that? And then it'll be silence for like 10 seconds. Like, and then, all right, okay, well, that was informative.
Well, we'll only edit out anything that you can't actually say without getting in trouble, so.
I'm pretty sure I haven't said any of that, so we're good to go. Right.
Well, what I'm telling you is you're free to say that, because we'll edit it out. So.
Oh. Thaddeus is just winging for extra knowledge.
Yeah, any secrets you want to throw out there, you know.
In that case.
Actually, I have a question that you probably can't answer, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Any plans to do any sort of tools for Gamma World?
Right now, we don't have any plans for that. But let's say that Gamma World is hugely successful and everybody wants some type of character builder thing. We would definitely look into that if it was something that, a lot of people wanted and they bought a lot of Gamma World. So right now, back to your answer question, no. We're not planning on doing a Gamma World tool. That may change. If that changes, I will totally let you guys know.
Okay, so let's tell you this right now. Gamma World is hugely successful, and we all want a character builder.
I'm a big fan, so I would be willing to believe you. I mean, just like having like a character creation tool that would just mash up different origins for you and then give you all the stuff would be pretty sweet.
Okay, so I do have a question, another Gamma World question. See if you can answer this one.
Okay.
I know there's an expansion pack coming out very shortly, or very soon.
December, I believe.
So, on that, is there going to be expanded origins, or are you left with the original origins and just more like monsters and adventure options?
Sure. It was hinted at in Shelley's article, but yeah, we will have more origins.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yay. You heard it here first, guys.
That's right. We are finally exclusive.
I have a question kind of related to that. Will any of the expansions take the characters past level 10?
Good question.
I actually don't know the answer to that because now we're talking about the far future, right? So I don't know. Last time I checked, Gamma World was 1 to 10, and I didn't see anything beyond that, but that was a while ago. So they might have something, but as far as I know, Gamma World is 1 to 10.
No way. Yeah.
I was just kind of wondering because I had one of my friends wanting to play a long-term Gamma World campaign, and despite me telling him, you have to concentrate on characters surviving one session, let alone... 10 levels. He was interested in seeing how far it would go.
Yeah, there's actually been some people in our community, the people's communities, that have actually given out stats for stuff beyond level 10 and all the way up to epic level stuff. And it's some pretty cool stuff that people have made. So if you're interested in doing that in your own game, there's definitely people out there who have done the hard work for you already.
We should try to get Logan's adventure out there for everyone.
You really should.
Is this
the PAX one?
Oh yeah, I hear it's a good adventure. I have not played.
It's an awesome adventure.
It sold me.
Is that
me
the one
it.
That features Dance Bot?
Yes.
Yes.
I'd like to see that.
Okay, so let's keep pushing the envelope of what you can and can't answer. Because I have a question about.
You're going to find out really quickly that I can't answer much.
We'll
find out.
There was a Nentir Vale. I think it was a Gadzatir. I don't know how to pronounce it. Basically a book based on expanding the Nentir Vale that was once on the product catalog, and now I can't find it on there. Has it been basically junked, or will it be retooled and we'll be seeing it again in the future, or... No comment.
Honestly, couldn't tell you. I've been out of the loop on that particular thing, apparently, because I honestly have no clue.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not trying to sidestep. I really don't know.
No, it's okay. Listen, just the fact that you're here is awesome.
You mean to tell me that you don't know everything about your job and everyone else's job at WotC? Come on.
I try, because literally it is my job to know about what other people are doing. But, no, not necessarily. Not all the time. And I'm going to quote you the thing from Shelley's article, so I know that I'm not revealing too much.
So we're not exclusive if you read Shelley's article?
You're totally exclusive. It's like a barbarian chieftain ghost named Lorthog, son of Thangar, who can only animate the body of a child-sized mannequin in order to interact with living creatures, and Ragnarok, a mythic entropic. A what, I asked? From Famine and Fargo, Chuck said with pride. He's from the future. So that was a little tidbit about something you can expect from Famine and Fargo.
All right.
Nice.
Now an entropic, that's
stuff and things.
Well,
no, Ragnarok is a cool character. You can kind of guess what entropic and mythic might be.
Well, I know entropy is
chaos from order, so.
So it's right up Tracy's alley.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Tracy is in Famine in Fargo. Oh my god.
She is. We actually used her as a model for.
That's awesome.
After stuff. And you, we didn't give her any credit for it. So just so you know. Zero
you guys
credit.
Take all my ideas and never give me any credit for it, but I understand.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to know if this is true or not. I'm looking at the content calendar, and it looks like November 16th is actually the release date for Famine in Fargo.
Oh, really?
Is that true, or is that a misprint?
That should be correct. Let me see if I can... I'm not using anything you don't have. I'm just going to the interweb real quick.
All right. Yeah, it shows that the Monster Vault, the Dungeon Tile City, and Famine in Fargo are all being released on the 16th.
Good day after payday, so I have some money.
Sadly,
so what I'm looking at, the Famine in Fargo kit, looks like its release date is December 21st. On the actual product page. So the product page might be different than the calendar.
Yeah.
I was thinking December. So I'm not sure which one's correct, though, so I will try to find out and let you guys know tomorrow.
Okay.
Trevor, you totally could have pulled like a man behind the curtain move. You could have been like, let me check my trusty database that you guys don't have access to. Click, 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 and then, December, yeah.
The truth is I could do that, but I don't know where that spreadsheet is.
He's just... Wait, guys, you're still using a spreadsheet?
I'm too disorganized. No, I have it on a spreadsheet somewhere. They use other cool futuristic space age stuff, I'm sure.
What's that question, Tracy?
The stuff they use is in Silverlight on web-based. But...
So, Trevor, do you ever DM or are you only player?
I was DMing pretty regularly a Friday night game. But I shouldn't say pretty regularly. I was DMing a Friday game, and then I kept flaking out as DM, so I stopped doing that because my players are awesome when they realized I was flaking. But I love to DM. It's just I haven't made the time for it lately.
Are there any cool hacks you like to make to D&D when you DM?
Any cool hacks I like to make to D&D? I often let my players just do cool stuff. I don't require them to roll for things especially once they're in like high heroic or paragon, unless it's something that they're really trying to do that's crazy. But other than that, I don't really hack too much together except for making my own monsters and making them do crazy things. Which I have learned is also bad. I have this tendency to overcomplicate monsters. Like I made an angel basically that I had to re-roll like his defenses all the time because it had a changing elemental resistance and all this other stuff. I'm like, wow, I could have made this much simpler and much more fun to play. So I have learned some things by trying to undercomplicate.
Yeah, I have to constantly fight myself on making things overly complicated. Like, it would be cool if they just did. Oh, there's no easy way to do that.
I've learned a lot from watching other DMs too. Like, even when we had the game when we were at. Where were we? Holy crap. You just mentioned the name of the bar earlier. The
Asgard?
Pub. Yeah, Asgard. I was watching Phil and other people play. I was like, that's a really cool adventure, the thing he did. Like, here's your out if you don't want to do this fight, or here's this cool thing you can do to make this monster weaker. I'm like, that's all really cool stuff that I have to remember for the future.
So how do you feel about rituals?
I love them. They're really cool. I do worry that sometimes they become ways to bypass plot, which is fine. Plot, to me, exists because the players want it to. But what's always fun is trying to figure out ways when you want to put the adventure on rails a tiny bit, and then you're like, well, here's these 17 rituals that can get past this one thing. How can I make this interesting and not make them feel like I'm forcing something on them? Rituals, I love using them. Every once in a while, it's interesting to see what type of cool things you can come up with.
All right, you get to stay on.
good times.
It was a test. You have passed.
If I couldn't be on your podcast, I'm not sure what I would do.
Yeah.
Kato, so Trevor, I got a question.
Oh, there you go.
Go for it.
Did you
ask Trevor show?
Did you take part in the very cool DM D&D hotline? What was that last week?
I did not take part in this one. actually. So I walked in and talked to them while they were doing it and made sure we tweeted about it. That's about a.
Could you explain it briefly to people who might be listening to the podcast? What went down and what was the coast did?
Sure. Yeah. It's basically we set up the hotline so people could call in and ask whatever questions they wanted. And this is mostly for DMs, right? To call in and ask not necessarily rules questions, but questions about how they could run something or how they could do something for their players. So it's more that making the game your own kind of statement. It's like the questions would be like, I've got my players and they want to, you know, chase this fairy queen that I've created, but I don't really know what the next step is because they live in this really small hive and they're like 2 feet tall and what do I do? And these aren't like, well, you roll a d20 and find out what it is on the difficulty scale and then see if they pass or not. That wasn't the answer. It was more like, well, here's your options. Maybe they have a cool ritual that shrinks them or, you know, maybe they do all this other stuff. And it was just stuff like that. It's idea generation more than anything else and then trying to empower the DM to make sure they know that they can do that kind of stuff.
See, you guys have to do this more often, like maybe every week, so I can call in and you can be my little brownies for figuring out my game.
Don't be a brownie. She cooks her brownies.
I do not cook.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I called it twice, though. It was a lot of fun.
What did you ask?
The first time I asked like a bunch of how to get an old school feel to the game, because my players want that. They want to play an essentials game. And if we're going to do that, then they might as well get the full experience. and that led to a conversation also about essentials and Dark Sun. And Chris tells me it works well together, so I don't have to worry about that. And then the second time I called in, I tried to get tips about DMing in public, but the person kept giving me answers about going and using the RPGA to play games in public, which wasn't quite the same thing, but it's a hard question to answer.
Who did you talk to when you called, Tracy?
The first time I talked to
Chris.
Uh-oh,
gonna get Kula. Somebody in trouble.
But I don't know who I talked to the second time. But you guys do own a copy, well, two copies of my voice now for promotional purposes.
Sweet.
So, abused
we,
as you
we,
will.
We are going to continue to use you and your ideas and not acknowledge it. That's awesome. Good.
Confirming suspicions nerds have had for 20 years.
Totally been stealing all of Tracy's ideas.
It does feel that way sometimes, like particularly with the class compendium book. Yeah, exactly. I know you stole that one.
No, that just means that we all have this collective awesome knowledge idea. It's like, man, wouldn't this be a cool idea if? And if enough of us think that, it probably gets made into a book.
I know. But I like my story better.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we actually have the technology to steal it from your brain. So no worries. No worries.
Well, you just get some of those far realm creatures, right? Right?
Yeah. I actually have Illithids working for me, too, so that's no big deal.
So that means it'll be no more dungeons again, right?
Uh-oh.
No more dungeons again?
Well, you know what was funny? I read the DM kit book, and dungeons is only one of the many options that you have available for running your adventures.
Trevor, I don't know if you know, but Tracy hates dungeons.
That's what people were saying. I don't think Tracy and I have talked about this.
We haven't. I've been afraid.
Yeah, this could be a snag here in the whole friendship. But
I love dragons, though.
She wanted the game to be retitled Dragons and Dragons.
Sweet.
So
I think it's a tear in the Matrix, the fact that she doesn't like dungeons, because, you know, she is part of the WotC collective, apparently.
Hogan, I'm always just so surprised by this. Like, how again did you know Pork Fry?
Oh, wow. So I have a friend who also works here at Wizards of the Coast named Brandon. Well, and another one, Rob. I met Clinton through Rob because they were living together. And Clinton is also known as Doc. He was part of the Penny Arcade crew back in the day.
Right.
And so through Doc, I met some of them, and that's how I met Pork Fry.
Okay. So that's how you met Pork Fry and Stormy.
Yep, you got it.
Okay.
I was just so, that was just a surreal moment for me when.
Yeah, I know. When it was like, we kind of know some of the same people. And to be totally honest, I again, just so if it's on the podcast, I don't really know a whole lot of those guys. I've hung out with Pork more as the years have gone by. I see him like every 4th of July and other kind of things. And then Walter and Stormy, I've hung out with some of them, but like, I don't really know Mike or Jerry, you know, for example.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I know them. I have worked with them. I have gone to their office and dropped some cool stuff off and talked to them for 15 minutes, but I would not claim to know them.
Yeah.
Do you want to add Sam back?
Sam is back.
He's back.
Okay, sweet.
So not all of the cool stuff's done while Sam was gone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hate to exclude Trevor from most of the conversation that's about to come up, but we do have to hit the biggest topic that set Twitter ablaze today before we end this. So
Twitter cannot be ablaze because I was not on there, and I'm the one that set the dinner webs on fire. So.
Which just says how ablaze it really was, because if it went on fire without Tracy involved, just imagine what would have happened if she was.
Tracy, I hate to say it, but Trevor did start a pretty big fire on...
But
on Twitter today.
It exploded.
Yeah.
No, there was just some sharing of information.
And then a lot of sharing of personal feelings.
And then people got excited.
Yep. Welcome to the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. I love
it. Hey, Trevor, have you guys ever thought of, like, making your announcements at Friday at, like, 6 o'clock and then just shutting off the internet for 2 days?
That would be awesome.
I have indeed thought about making announcements and just walking away for a weekend. I actually don't think it's physically possible for me to do.
Yeah.
I would just be working over the weekend, unfortunately. Yeah. But no, that would also be mean.
Maybe Mondays instead of Tuesdays?
Sure. Mondays are already super busy.
That's true.
It just all depends on when the messaging gets approved and what we're trying to say and how far out from what we're trying to say and all this.
Yeah.
Well, when it's the big official messaging, it is one of those things that we need to make sure everybody in the company is aware of and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, you don't want somebody in one office getting caught off guard by information that everybody else on the internet already knows, right?
Right. Yes, or you
because
don't want them
that
like
never happens.
Sending all sorts of stuff. It's like, oh look, here's all these things. It's like that's actually the exact opposite of what we just said.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I know, that hasn't happened, so that's good.
Message consistency is important.
So before anyone starts insanely arguing any point of view, Trevor, can you just tell us what the big announcement is? Like, what are the key points about the new character builder that's coming out?
Well, let me grab the post here.
Yeah.
Because that'll be the easiest way for me not to screw up. here it is. So it's got the new design, which I redesigned from the top to bottom in Microsoft Silverlight. It's a robust character creation wizard. Doesn't require any download because it's all served up on the DD site. It's PC and Mac compatible, and I can let you guys discuss the specifics of that. Access is easy. All you have to do is log in and launch the character builder. The characters in the cloud, so they're all stored on our servers. File import, you can easily import your characters you created in the previous character builder. It's got all the data, the previous character builder stuff. It will have the essentials updates that we've had, the books that have come out so far. Not Heroes of the Forgotten Kingdoms, that'll be in a future update. And then, the Dark Sun stuff as well. So, and it looks spiffy, in my opinion. My opinion. So there you go. That's basically the stuff. The important things is it's web-based. That's the big change. It's web-based and all the things that go along with that.
So there's been a lot of people who are scared that there won't be any exporting of their characters. So they can't use things like iPlay 4E or have them on their own computers.
We are going to have some kind of character export / character sharing, and that's going to be... That's like super high on the list. It's not going to be at launch. It just doesn't have the functionality at launch. But I would not be surprised to see it in one of the next couple updates. So that's what I can tell you about that for sure.
So not now, but pretty much soon.
Yeah, the export feature or any type of like sharing with another person feature I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work. I haven't seen the specifics. But coming soon. I know people hate when I use the word soon, and I totally get it. But in soon in the future update, super high priority, really important. We get it.
All right. I love how his static on his mic picked up as he was talking. It's like you're breaking up.
I'm breaking up.
We can't hear you talk about stuff.
There's like a guy from HR and a guy from legal on either side of him, and they're like, "Oh, hit the button now." No, hit the button now.
Paper. They're crumpling paper.
Yeah.
My big request is that the monsters be able to be exported, but I don't know. I'm just putting that in now. So that way it shows up.
Talk about monster builder stuff?
Yeah,
I wish I had information on monster builder. I actually don't have anything new to talk about for monster builder. I know it's. I don't know when it's going to be updated next. I don't have any information on that. But I'm pretty sure I will soon.
I'm just telling you so that way you don't have to, you know, go into my brain and get this information out. I'm just giving it to you for free.
Okay. You want exportable monsters. Got it.
But, of course, they already knew that, Tracy.
Yeah, I've already gotten it from your brain. It's okay, but thank you.
I haven't done my monthly update to them yet.
No. It's all going to be web-based soon, right?
Yeah.
So this is the point where I have to ask everybody what are your initial feelings on it, and then I'll tell you all why you're wrong.
Oh
wow!
You already did that.
I'm actually going to step out.
Okay.
I obviously have a bias in this particular conversation.
Yeah.
So I will let you guys continue to have it though, so you don't have to worry about stepping around or not asking me questions or anything like that.
Trevor, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. It was an awesome time.
Yeah, thanks for being here. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, I'm sure as long as, you know, everybody's cool with it, we could do this again.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We'd love it.
Very, very cool.
Cool. Well, have fun, everybody. Thaddeus, I'll see you in a week or so.
Yeah, we'll see you in a week. So.
See you guys.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Can you what?
Who's a what now?
Someone said, no, I thought someone said good night. Oh, okay, fine. All right, good night, guys.
Good night.
That was great that Trevor came on. I think that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, they're still, I think, and always should be trying to find that balance between, you know, how much information to withhold and how much not to, and having that presence in the community. So, kudos.
Yeah, I don't envy his job. It's a tough job.
No.
Oh, no, yeah.
I know I couldn't do that job.
I took one peek at the forum post about it that they linked to from the announcement, like 20 minutes after the announcement was made, and it was already 14 pages long. So I was like, F that. I'm never going to that forum. But it's his job and it's Mike's job to sit there and go through that and reply to people. And I'm just like, oh, I could never do that.
Yeah.
Like, getting plates thrown at me, that sucks.
And but, I'm in a corporate office type situation as well. And you got to run stuff by legal, and you have to make sure that you're kosher with your message consistency, and it's all,
I'm just saying, I'll take plates over that forum any day. So
DDI.
Yeah.
Character builder.
So can I start?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it, Sam. All right. Sam, are you still recording?
I am recording, but of course, when my internet dropped, I wasn't recording. But
right, we lost.
Started, as soon as I got back on the call, I started recording again.
Yeah, I restarted my recorder. Every time someone leaves the conversation, my recorder stops. So when you lost connection, mine stopped. When Trevor just left, mine stopped.
Yeah, so, no, I still, mine is telling me it's still recording, so.
All right. So
I'll start. So I only have one complaint about the character builder change, and it's admittedly a minor complaint, but it's one that will affect the way that I do things. And that complaint is that it's a web-based tool now, which means I have to have an active web connection to utilize it. Now, I don't, you know, a lot of people thought I was complaining about having to have an active DDI subscription to use it or an active account to use it, and that's not my complaint at all. I think it was a very smart move for WotC to do that. So you know, that I don't have that complaint. I have a yearly subscription. I've had a yearly subscription for a long time, and you know, I use the character builder a lot. I use the monster, but I use a lot of different things on DDI. I have all the Dragon magazines, et cetera, et cetera. I am not one to complain about the content that's on there or the ability to use that content. However, now that the CB is going web-based, it highly reduces or greatly reduces my ability to utilize it because I don't always have an internet connection where I'm at. And as you just witnessed from my call dropping all of a sudden, I had to totally reset my router. You know, my internet connection is not that wonderful at home, and I can't access a lot of stuff at work. So, you know, it reduces my ability to utilize the tools that I spend money on every month. And I already buy all the books, so for me it's sort of like, well, do I keep the subscription then, or do I just go to using the books? Or, you know, it now becomes a decision I have to make rather than something that, you know, well, it's obvious I'm going to have that subscription. You know what I mean? That's my minor complaint. Otherwise, I think it's a great move. I understand why they did it from the business perspective. I understand why they did it from the development perspective. And that's all fine. I don't have issues with that. But, you know, just like I said earlier, you can't make all the people happy all the time. So I rarely come out on the side of the people that are unhappy, and I'm not necessarily on that side right now, but we'll see. I'm sure that the functionality, if it's as good as the character builder is now, I'll probably be happy with it. So,
see, my concern, in a lot of ways, my concern is the same as Sam's. I know when I first heard about it, I was a little more aggressively unhappy. Let's put it that way. But since I've had time to think on it, my complaint really boils down to being the same as Sam's. Where I play, I don't necessarily have a constant online connection. And I do use the character builder and the compendium and everything else. Those are active tools in my game as I'm playing. It's not just we're going to do character creation, you know, before the game or after the game, you know, leveling up or whatever. It's, you know, during the game I'm doing things like looking up rituals, looking up specific powers or items or whatever. And it does diminish diminishes the character builder utility for me to not be able to use that in an offline mode. There are a couple of other things that I have a problem with, but I think it's come out that those are going to be taken care of. Like right now, or at least at launch, there are no house ruled characters, and in every one of my campaigns are house ruled. I mean, for example, I do like 24 point builds instead of 22. So for the right now, and at least the first update, I don't get any use out of the character builder, because I'm gonna have to change things by hand anyway. But I know that's been said that's gonna be taken care of. So right now my main concern is otherwise the internet connection. Otherwise I think it's great. I mean, right now I've got a lot of other tools for transferring characters from one PC to the other or getting it printed out or whatever. But I think having it in the cloud will hopefully make it better. And I hope that they enable some way to share from one account to the other, you know, send a friend a character or a monster or whatever. I hope that's something that they can do at some point with that cloud functionality. And I'm done talking.
I think Randall had something.
Sure. Yeah, I actually had several concerns when I first heard about it. Most of those have been allayed. I'm glad to hear that he said that an export feature will probably be coming in a soon update. So, you know, based on what I've heard so far, what soon will mean, you know, if I get it first quarter, I'll be okay sometime before March. But you know, that's hugely just a guess. The second piece was, what was I going to say? Crap.
Are you awestruck by the sudden presence of Mike Shea?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Mike, how you doing? What was the other thing that I was so concerned about? Oh my God.
Was it the servers?
Yeah, that was it. That was another big one. I was worried about the server load, but those fears seem to have been allayed as well. And it sounds like they did a lot of stress testing. And if I can get onto the site, because my big thing was, great, I have a hard time getting onto Wizard's site sometimes now
just getting onto the site itself, let alone all these users now being nothing but on the site. If I can't get to it because of bandwidth issues, that's a problem for me. But if they've stress tested and they think that they're cool there, then I'm okay, then I can, until I see it fail for me, I'm not going to say anything bad against it. The one final thing for me was that the nice advantage with the downloadable tool was I could take my work laptop home or that's not blocked, download the stuff, and then use the character tool at work. And that wasn't a problem. But now if it's on the website, it'll be blocked. I won't be able to get to any of the stuff from the office, I'm sure. So it's like Obsidian Portal. I love those guys, but I can never use it at work because it's blocked. And so that cuts out a big part of my big chunk of my development time. And good or bad, yeah, why are you doing that at work, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, it's still a big chunk of my development time. So that, it irks me, but I'll get around it, you know. I just, those are the big things. There are some technical things that, you know, if Microsoft is really moving away from Silverlight, why did they choose that? You know, that seems like an odd decision to make. It's like, did Microsoft...
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah, let me finish.
Okay.
Did he get dropped?
Did I hang up on him? Maybe.
Randall?
Yeah, he dropped.
He got dropped.
No, I did not hang up on him.
His concern sort of echoed mine about the online thing. It's not that for me. It's not that it's blocked at work. It's that it's not. You know, I what if I want to use it on my lunch time? You know, it's not that I'm taking up work time doing it, but if I have to have a connection that allows me to connect, that could be an issue. I don't know that it will be. That's why I say it's a minor concern, because I don't know that it's really going to be an issue. Thaddeus,
Coming back. I don't think that Microsoft is moving away from Silverlight. I think that it's not as new as it used to be, so it's not their forefront product that they're pushing right now. But the .NET system and the Silverlight system that goes along with it are still big products for them. And they have been losing out on the online, basically in the online portion of the industry for a while now. And it is fast becoming a focus for them to regain a hold in the online world. And so there's actually been a push, an internal push at Microsoft, from what I know. And they are heavily investing in partnering with companies. I know of a couple design companies that are doing things almost fully in Silverlight now because Microsoft gives them incentives to work in Silverlight.
I wondered about that. Yeah.
And they give them – I mean, it's not just incentives as far as, you know, obtaining the stuff to actually program, but they give them on-site support. You know, they make it a priority to get people involved in Silverlight. And so
I thought that Critical Hits, the post that Dave the Game made on Critical Hits linked to an article that said something about phasing out of Silverlight. I didn't actually, honestly, didn't go to the article. So I don't know.
I'm on TechCrunch right now from November 1st. And it said that Microsoft indicated that they were committed to using it as a development platform for Windows Phone and certain media applications like Netflix, but for true cross-platform strategy, they're shifting their focus to HTML5.
HTML5, yeah. That's the same thing I heard.
So now is there a possibility that the Silverlight could be used for other applications? And that they're actually thinking of the future on this? In other words, not just for the builders.
I think the future is HTML5.
Yeah.
See, I don't know enough to be able to really speak intelligently about it, so.
So one problem is that they're not, I'm looking at their response to the original announcement about Silverlight, and it's saying that they're still not going to do Linux, which I know is a relatively small portion of OS, but I think among the people who play D&D, maybe a little higher than normal.
That's a fair assumption, I think.
Well, I'm pretty convinced every Linux person has a Microsoft box sitting in the corner and they don't tell anybody about.
Yeah.
Well, look, I have four IT guys in my game group, and they all run Windows. It's not – I don't know if it's that big of a deal. I really don't.
I mean, I know I saw a few people complain about it, but how much that actually means – I was just saying that it's more likely in something like D&D to be a problem than in many other aspects. But, yeah – I don't know. I don't like .NET, so anything that's like their continued use of .NET just annoys me.
You know, the biggest complaint that I actually heard was people complaining that, or maybe it was just the loudest complaint, but people complaining that now they have to pay for their DDI subscription every month. Oh no, the sky is falling because they have to keep a current DDI subscription to get the use of the tool. And you know, I mean, I think everybody here knows my reaction to that because I had a long conversation on Twitter with the guy who was really pissed off about it. And I was like, look, you know, it's a tool. You're using it. If you're using it and you want to use it, and then you're going to have to pay for it. And if you don't, then don't. It's nobody's making you do it. You know, he made reference to the fact, oh, WotC's making us, you know, sign up for this. And I said, no, it's an optional tool. If you choose to buy it, you spend your $5 a month. And then he tried to tell me, no, no, it's $10 a month. It's $70 a year. And I said, well, $10 a month would be $120 a year. That you're pulling numbers out of a hat. And from my individual perspective, if I want to spend $5 a month on a program that I find useful and I utilize it quite often, I don't have a problem with that. And, you know, his complaint was, well, you know, WotC has convinced you that you need to subscribe to a piece of software that doesn't get updated or changed. And, you know, you're paying monthly for a piece of software that you should just have to purchase one time. And, you know, that's not what the EULA, the character builder EULA says, that they may or may not update it. And you're paying for the use of the builder. Why should I pay monthly and the other people, you know, that want to just buy 1 month and download all the content in 2 days and then let their subscription lapse? I mean, that to me is a violation of the user license agreement as well. So, you know, but that's the biggest complaint is, oh, now I have to keep a constant subscription. Well, you know what? That's smart of WotC. Sorry to say it, but they're a company and they want to stay in business. And everybody admits the character builder is a great tool. So why not pay for it? I don't have a problem with that.
See, I agree with what Sam just said. You know, the idea that people are gaming the system by getting, you know, once or twice a year they'll re-up their subscription, and basically they don't look at it as buying a subscription to web content to the entire Insider program. What they see it as is, I'm going to buy all of the information that I can from, you know, character side that Wizards of the Coast has released over the last 6 months or 12 months. For $9, I'm going to download it, and then, you know, I'll be able to make characters until I want more updated content, and then I'll go pay another $9 for it. And that's not what they've proposed to produce, and that's not what they've been trying to produce this entire time. You know, they've been trying to produce a living online content for Dungeons & Dragons, and it was never really meant to be something where all of the information from all of their published material sits on your desktop for you to access whenever you want for only $9. You know, if you want that information accessible at your fingertips anytime, offline or online, buy a book. And I think this is a direct result of them struggling with how do we give people access to content but also get them to, you know, go to the hard copies. You know, we are producing books. That is what their main drive is they produce books and they sell books and they want you to buy books. And Tracy seems upset, so...
Well, so I'm going to sound worse than I really do, but
just get angry.
I know. So if character sheets were really easy to fill out, I would be much more on your side and Sam's side. I think there should be a way where if I buy a book, I should be able to get a digital version of that information available to me for as long as they have it online, in a character builder. If I buy the new Heroes of the Forgotten Kingdoms, I should be able to build a character from that in an easy way that doesn't require, you know, reams of paper
and everything else in order to get something that I can bring to the table.
Well, I have, so I have, you, a, are, I have a question
your
about
position
that.
That you should get to do that for free?
I think I should be able to get that as part of the book.
So, okay, I have a rebuttal question for that. And let's, I'll ask
or
my question.
Or for a small amount after, or for a small amount more. But I think it's not as easy as you guys are saying to make a character just from a book.
What other games give you that? And what other editions of Dungeons & Dragons has that happened in? Because this seems like a...
Well, other editions of Dungeons & Dragons have been a lot easier to create characters on a piece of paper.
I don't think that's true.
There's also the point that the older editions aren't what we're concerned about here. It's what we're doing with this edition.
Well, I'm just looking I'm looking at the industry in general. Like, what games is such a robust character builder available? Something that makes building characters so easy.
Officially or unofficially?
Officially. Because the demands that are being made right now are demands that are being made of the official licensing body for Dungeons & Dragons. We're demanding from Wizards of the Coast certain things, and I want to know, where is it available for other games besides something that a third party's made?
Actually, Randall, you said you wanted to add a comment to Tracy's.
Yeah, I did, and I dropped off right when that happened, but yeah, I apologize. No, I in a way, I agree with Tracy. I spent like the last 2 days working on an Essentials character without a builder, and it has sort of have the existence of the builder has literally, it's made it so easy to create a character that you forget how much work is actually involved. And as I was building my Essentials character and trying to figure out where all these pluses were and all this other stuff, I realized it was no more or less difficult than a 3.5 character was. You've got the same number of types of bonuses and things like that, and they're organized a little differently, but there's not a lot different as far as the complexity involved. And it literally took me 2 days to build this worksheet for the character sheets by hand. I wasn't doing it all sitting down straight through, obviously, but it was still just as complicated. And the character builder has spoiled us, quite frankly. And so I see where, you know, someone new coming into it. Now, I don't know whether or not, you know, you should get a tool like that whenever you buy a rule book like that. I don't know. You know, it's not me to say. I've never done that in the past. I don't expect it. So it's kind of a bonus. But when I was looking at the essential stuff and thinking, wow, you know, this is just as hard as it always has been. The character builder's spoiled as rotten. So, but anyway, that's basically what I wanted to add.
Okay, what do you got, Tracy?
Oh, I was just going to say, I've had at least one player in the past who's refused to get character builder and has tried to run the character at the table by looking up all their powers all the time, and it gets downright unplayable.
It's brutal.
Well, but the thing is that you shouldn't be having to look up your powers all the time. You should make a card or a 3x5 card that has your bonuses for whatever power. And I mean, I would not let it, because I've had a player that didn't have a character builder that tried to run off of a character
sheet. That's a lot of work. The book.
Right, but you bought the book to play a game. And as a player, okay, so I always look at it like this. As a DM, I spend a lot of time planning and prepping, and I put a lot of work into playing the game and setting it up for the players. If they have to spend 2 hours making a character the day before or the week before the game starts, I don't feel bad for them having to make 3x5 cards for that to make the game go well for everyone.
But I think it takes more than 2 or 3 hours in order to do all that work of building the character and making those cards and everything else. It takes longer than 2 to 3 hours don't have a
role.
So 10 hours then. Still, the point remains, they do that at the beginning, and then they do that at every level up. But so, I don't think it's too much to ask my players to do that if they don't want to get the character builder and if they don't want to, you know... I don't see where that's a problem, actually. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I just don't see it as a problem.
So what you're saying is that once you buy the book, the hard work, they should include something that does the hard work for you. And it shouldn't be something that costs a monthly fee. It should just be a small one-time fee.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do the hard work. You want it to be easy, but you don't want it to cost any money.
Because I want to be able to spend more time playing their game. I mean, in the end, yeah. And it's not that I don't want to spend any money. I bought the book. I'm not saying I buy a book, I get all the content. I'm just getting the content that's in the book that I bought.
Yeah, I mean, I understand your point. I agree with it, but I'm not sure that I don't know. I guess I'm not sure why it's necessary. I agree with Randall. I think the character builder has spoiled us, and now we think we're entitled to get to use it if we want to make a character in 4th edition.
Well, I don't think I'm entitled to anything.
Well, no,
I'm just saying that if they want my money.
Right.
So what you're saying, I'm just trying to think about a way that it would work, the way Tracy's, like, if the books, each book came with, like, a scratch-off code that would unlock certain content in a character builder, like, that you downloaded, and, like, if you enter the code in, it would download certain content for you, but only once for that code, or... Anyway, Mike, you have been really quiet. What are your feelings about the new character builder update announcement?
Well, just one thing I want to mention. I think in 3.0, they included a CD that had a application that was a character builder that actually came with the player's handbook, but they didn't have it was very poorly supported. It was a pretty terrible app, if I recall, and it really didn't help out. And I think everybody was using – I can't remember the name of it now. There was an open source application that –
Something Monkey, Code Monkey. It built an application.
Yeah, there was a few different 3.5 applications that we used when we were running 3.5 games. I think 3.5 was probably harder to generate at least characters above a certain level. I do think, you know, I agree with Tracy. I think it's you know, one of the problems with 4E is that there's so many cross modifiers for things that it's really hard to keep track of exactly what your mods are for anything. So there must be 5 or 6 different places you have to check to figure out what your defenses are. And, you know, when a character builder type app does it all for you. That said, I don't know that I would expect that they're going to include software with a book that I pick up for $12 and support it forever with updates and everything like that. But, I mean, in general, I'm happy to see a version that'll run on my Mac. And I think it's a little curious that they use Silverlight, but I can understand it. I think HTML5 would have been better, and I'd sure like to have it on my iPad. But this is still better. And more importantly for me is I want to see the Monster Builder too. I don't know if you guys talked about the Monster Builder at all, but that's the last application that's going to require me to boot to Windows, which if any of you are Mac users is a terrible experience for us.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Mac user. I'm really happy about it for that way. I was just more responding in regards to the saying, oh, well, now you have to pay $71 for every year. And I'm like, well, you know, I've already paid for some of that content. Like, I know I didn't pay for it in the shiny digital form, but in a way I kind of did. And that was the only thing.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
It's certainly arguable that D&D 4th edition, as particularly if you get into, you know, above level 10 or, you know, certainly when you get into Parion and Epic, that trying to maintain a character on your own without any help, you're not going to get it right. You're going to miss something.
Maybe Wizards should look at a program that, you know, for every book you buy, you get a month of DDI.
I thought they tried. They talked about having some kind of key system where, like, in the back of the book, you'd have a key to be able to open things. And I think they just said, you know, that's going to be way too hard. And I think they're right. And I mean, I don't know. I spend enough on their books that the DDI subscription, and yeah, I hope they're not listening to this, and I hope they don't know what my username is, but I don't know a lot of people that are only using their account for themselves.
I can almost guarantee that they will be listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they don't know my account name.
Before you came on, Trevor Kidd was actually one of our guests. And so I'm going to guess they're going to go over this one with a code.
Yeah, and my guess is they're pretty aware that people are sharing their accounts with the rest of their group.
Well, and that's...
And I kind of wish that was, you know, not just silently accepted. I wish that was actually, that they said, sure, you know, if you've got a group of 6 people, then, you know, one account for 6 people is okay.
Well, that almost seemed like what they were getting at when they gave you up to 5 downloads of the...
Yeah, exactly.
It was almost expected that a group of players would go together on... Because the same thing happens with their books. They don't expect everyone at the table to own every book they have. A group will have a collection of books together, the same way they go in on an account together. Now, I don't know if that's really what their exception is, but giving us the ability to do 5 downloads is almost kind of like just kind of saying, okay, here's your account. Now we're just going to turn around and what you do with it, you know, you do with it. So. Yeah.
So I don't know what the rest of the world is going to do, but I've been paying the subscription all this time. I plan to continue to pay for the subscription. I'm happy to see it.
I'm never playing 4th edition again.
Yeah, I was gonna come on and say this is absolutely the worst thing that's ever happened to any human being since smallpox, and we really ought to march on Washington right away to get Congress involved.
First world troubles, right? First world issues.
Exactly. Oh my God. You know.
There were Twitter posts today from people saying, you know, I'm hanging up 4th edition after this comes out. Like, I'm never doing this again. It's just
there was one about lawsuits about lost characters. Like, you know, I want to know what your data retention policies are. It's like, how long does it take you to generate a character, really? You know, you're not losing every ounce of information you've ever had. They're not taking your guy.
Well, all you have to do is print it one time.
Right.
And you've
got
God the
forbid
stats.
You have to rebuild.
Did you read the name of my post today?
I read that pretty much crashed
my site.
What was the name of the post?
Wizards of the Coast wants to eat your characters.
Yeah, right. And so it's, you know, come on. I mean, you know, my wife lost her character twice, and she just sat down and she spent 15 minutes rebuilding it. And this is a level 28 character. It's not that hard.
So, oh my God, that would take me forever.
Well, I mean, she knew what she had. You know, I mean, she wasn't regenerating it from scratch, but she knew what she generally had.
I'm gonna have pancakes for dinner tonight. I know that was just the most random comment ever, but Randall's got me wanting pancakes pretty bad. So
are they pumpkin pancakes?
They were awesome pancakes, man.
I can't do pumpkin pancakes, but I can make some pretty killer pancakes. And it sounds like everybody is needing to go soon.
Yeah, we've been at this for quite a while.
Yeah, some of us are going on hour 3 here. So
it's been an awesome discussion though, because I think these are all big issues and we had a great guest and.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this has definitely been a good podcast, a good discussion.
Yeah.
So, I'll keep buying the crack because I'm an old man now, and so it used to be in my youth, I could sit down for 4 hours at a time and build this elaborate character and do all the freaking math, and now. I want a machine to do it for me, damn it. And so I'll continue to pay them so the machine will do it for me. So that's, you know, that's where I stand. It sounds terribly mercenary, but that's just the way it's going to be. So. Well, I mean, it's really true because, I mean, I have no problem doing up a character for game by hand for any other game. I mean, Dresden Files or Eclipse Phase or whatever. But we really have gotten spoiled with the character builder, and I think a lot of us are going to keep – feeding our addiction with the digital tools.
Yeah.
I still have my subscription.
Yeah, I will too. I mean, as much as I'm not necessarily sure that Tracy and I agree on this, you know, the thing we do agree on is that it's a good game and we'll use the tool even if they want to charge us every month. So.
Not me. I quit 4th edition.
Yeah, I know. You moved on to Gamma World. I know. But
I haven't played yet because I'm lame.
Yeah, and I'm lame as well, so you know whatever. But I have to go, so good night everyone.
Good night, Sam. Thanks.
Good night, Sam.
Have a good one, man.
Yeah, so I'm recording. Are we gonna be using my recording?
Looks like we're gonna have to.
Okay.
So this is the end of the show. It's
the end of the show.
Hey, Mike, thanks for joining us for like the last 20 minutes or 30 minutes of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
I look forward to listening to it, and I'm sorry that it got really good in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. it was no good until you got here, Mike. It was just horrible.
Yeah, I'm sure you feel really bad.
Yeah, I got words in.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Ooh.
Oh.
Man, Kato, she just took that shot straight at you.
Kato's curled up in a ball now, so yeah.
Dude, just will not stop talking.
Say goodbye. Say goodbye to the recording.
Goodbye.
Bye recording.
Bye recording.
Good night.
Bye recording.